Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. We're here today to talk about some brand new developments in recent weeks for taxpayers who are impacted by the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in the Wynn versus the Maryland Comptroller case. And we are joined today with Karen Cirillo, a director of Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory, as well as Jenny DeSantis, also with Altus Group. And with that, I'll hand it over to Jenny.
Thanks, Matt. First, congratulations again, Karen, on the big win in the U.S. Supreme Court. I understand that thousands of taxpayers are now benefiting from the argument that you started at the early appeal level. Before we talk about the very recent developments, would you briefly remind our listeners about the issue in the Wynn case?
Yes, thanks, Jenny. It was a long 7 years effort working on this issue throughout all the court levels, and the litigating attorneys did a fantastic job pressing the argument that we'd started. They took it all the way to the top where the Supreme Court agreed with our position. The issue that we were pressing was that Maryland was taxing business income, that is interstate commerce income, that was earned not in Maryland but outside of Maryland and was already being taxed by the other state where that income was earned. The double taxation happened because Maryland law wasn't giving the Maryland resident who earned that income in the other states a reduction against what's called the local part of our Maryland income tax, that is the local tax that's imposed by the counties and the city. But rather, that calculation only reduced the state portion of Maryland's personal income tax. So that Maryland resident paid two taxes on his non-Maryland income. He paid the other state's tax, plus he paid the Maryland's county tax, and therefore he paid more tax on interstate income than the tax that would be paid by a person whose business income was only in Maryland. The courts ruled that that violated the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution as a burden on interstate commerce. The Supreme Court went through a big analysis, but they found the violation of the Commerce Clause. So now the result of the case is that the state of Maryland is paying refunds to taxpayers who had filed refund claims while the court proceedings were going on. Some of those filings were done as early as 2008 when we had got started with the case at the lowest level. And there continue to be some refund claims that are filed now by people who waited until after the Supreme Court's decision was released, which was this past summer.
I understand that there are literally tens of thousands of refund checks going out. I've seen $200 million publicized as the total amount the state is refunding. What are the new things those taxpayers need to know about?
Well, just very recently, there are actually three new things, and I'll go through each of them in detail, but in brief, the three things are, first, the taxpayers now have the ability to claim additional credit or reduction of the Maryland taxes for taxes paid to other states' localities. That is, not just taxes they paid at other state levels, but also city and county taxes paid in those other states. Almost no one had done this when they filed their first amended refund claims, the amended returns in Maryland during the Wynn issue proceedings. Secondly, an administrative process the Comptroller's Office recently established for how taxpayers can protest through the regular tax administrative process. The fact that their refunds they're receiving from the Maryland Comptroller include only 3% interest rather than the state's normal interest rate of 13%. I know people are interested in that. We'll talk about that in a second. And very recently, developments in a class action suit, a separate litigation process that a few taxpayers and their attorneys have chosen as a vehicle for challenging the interest rate differential rather than using the tax administrative appeal process that we'll talk about in a second.
So please tell us more about the localities tax issue.
Sure. As I said, taxpayers had, when they were filing their refund claims, claimed credit or reduction of their Maryland tax for taxes that they had paid in the other states where their non-Maryland income was earned. But taxpayers can now add to their refund claims the amounts that they paid for other states' locality taxes, like city and county income taxes, in addition to the state-level taxes. As I said, almost no one had done this in the original refund claims that they had filed. when the Supreme Court's decision came out, the decision made absolutely no distinction between state-level and locality-level taxes in their discussion about how the double taxation violated the Commerce Clause. So when the Comptroller's Office digested that ruling and a couple months later issued its Frequently Asked Questions, that they came out in July, that Frequently Asked Questions document gave instructions that included the ability for the refund to include credit for taxes that are based on income. Based on income is the language in the Maryland statute, but taxes that were paid to other states' localities in addition to the states. The FAQs were specific about this. So this includes net income taxes and gross income taxes that many localities across the country impose separately from their state tax. But when those FAQs came out in July, the question existed from then just until recently about what the process was for claiming that additional refund amount. For years when amended returns had been filed, many years ago. Remember, we got this started in 2008, so a lot of refund claims had already been filed. So the process that I helped the comptroller work out is this. The state is sending a letter to every taxpayer who did receive or is now receiving a refund check based on the Wynn case. In the letter, the taxpayer is instructed by the comptroller's office that he has 90 days from the date of that letter to submit the additional information to claim additional refund for the taxes paid to the other state's localities. Now, the taxpayer doesn't have to file a full amended return again. The state is just asking for the amount of the additional refund based on the other state's local taxes and copies of the supporting data for that tax that was paid, like a copy of the locality's income tax return that the taxpayer filed, or a copy of the statement from the pass-through entity if that tax was paid by the entity on a composite return. There's a specific address, and taxpayers are instructed to only send this information to that specific address. It's the Comptroller's Post Office Box 1829 in Annapolis. So the good thing is this 90-day process treats the additional locality tax as an additional claim for refund, and so it resolves a possible question that had come up about how to treat the adjustment for the additional refund regarding an amended return for a year that would otherwise have been outside of the statute of limitations because so many years had already been filed. We believe it was a very fair process that was developed. The taxpayers didn't know when they filed the original amended returns that the state or the court case was going to allow the refund for both state and local level taxes. And so when the decision came out, the comptroller made that decision to include the local taxes. I think they did the right thing in establishing this procedure. But note, the taxpayer must act within 90 days of that letter, and after that date, the issue is closed and no more refunds can be claimed.
And what's this about tax refunds from the Wynn case being paid with only 3% interest instead of Maryland's regular 13% interest rate?
Yes, that's right, and this is an issue that's been talked about for quite a while because in 2014, before the Supreme Court's decision, but while the state and the counties were analyzing what would be at stake if the taxpayers won the case, the Maryland legislature in 2014 passed a law purporting to change Maryland's interest rate that applies only to, let me underline, only to refunds that would be issued under the Wynn decision if it went in favor of the taxpayer. Yes, it's true. When the state pays tax refunds under any other circumstances, the current law provides for a 13% rate when the state pays interest. But that 2014 provision with the 3% applies only to refunds being paid under the Wynn case. The statutory language is very specific. It only applies to the Wynn case. So many of us believe that that change is not only unfair to treat refunds differently, you know, one kind of refund at 13% and the Wynn refunds at 3%, but that it's also unconstitutional because it applies retroactively. And it applies only to people who had interstate commerce because that is a specific subject matter of the Wynn case, interstate commerce income in other states. And so taxpayers are wanting to use those arguments about unfair and unconstitutional to protest the amount of interest they're receiving in their refund checks in order to have additional interest refunded, they hope. So, again, administratively, what's happening? Knowing that there would likely be thousands of these protests of the interest amount, the comptroller and we worked on how to have an efficient process for both the taxpayers and the state to deal with the protests. We came up with the same 90-day letter process. In fact, the interest protest instruction process is in the same letter as the local credit instruction that we just discussed. So the taxpayer has 90 days from the date he receives that letter about his refund check to file a letter with the comptroller stating that he's protesting the 3% interest rate and is requesting a refund of a certain specified amount that he should calculate, an approximate amount. That is, he should calculate the difference between the 3% he got and what the 13% would be. Now, before anybody out there goes crazy, that's a relatively simple calculation because Maryland's is a simple interest calculation and not compounded interest like in some interest calculations. And the estimated amount of additional interest should be included in the letter because the letter is a claim for additional refund. Now, the letter should be separate from the filing we talked about a minute ago about additional claim for refund for other states' local taxes, but it should also be sent to that same special address the comptroller set up, that post office box 1829. So let me explain. Normally, such a letter gets the administrative appeal process rolling. The taxpayer would send that letter to the comptroller. The comptroller would send a letter denying his refund claim, would explain his right to appeal that denial by going to an administrative hearing and then on up the chain. Now, we don't expect that all of the several thousand people who are impacted will have to go to a hearing and through the court process. The state and I expect that only a few people would actually go to a hearing and then appeal to the Maryland Tax Court and then through the appellate courts and on up the chain. And we expect that all the other taxpayers will be put on hold by the comptroller's office while the litigation being pressed by a few taxpayers proceeds. Remember, this is exactly what happened in the first, I'll call it the first Wynn issue situation. That is, Mr. and Mrs. Wynn did the litigation, and the comptroller put on hold all of the other literally thousands of taxpayers' amended returns that were filed for the same issue that the Wynns were litigating. And then when the Wynns won the litigation with the Supreme Court's decision, the state of Maryland started issuing the refunds to all of the taxpayers who had filed amended returns, but only the Wynns had to go through the court process.
You say that there's also a class action suit about the interest rate issue that is different from the administrative appeal procedure. Do you mean simultaneously while some people are filing refund claims with the comptroller?
Yes, exactly, simultaneously. In addition to the process I just talked about with the comptroller's process for the 90-day ability for the taxpayers to file a letter and challenge the interest rate, there are two attorneys who, on behalf of their clients, have filed a class action complaint in the Circuit Court for Baltimore City asking for additional interest on the Wynn refunds for their clients, and because it's a class action suit for all similarly situated taxpayers. Now, they're using the basis that the legislature's 2014 change to the interest rate is illegal. It's an illegal taking of property. That is, the government is withholding a property right, the right to the accrued interest. And they're also saying that the tax law is unconstitutional. So they're using both arguments about the challenge. The name of the case is Holzeid versus the comptroller. That's Holzeid. Now, a class action procedure would put the challenge of the interest rate and a request for additional interest directly into the hands of the circuit court, rather than the taxpayers having to go through the administrative tax appeal process through the comptroller's office and then the Maryland Tax Court and then the appellate courts. That is, the court would hear directly the challenge if, I emphasize, if the circuit court judge allows the class action to proceed. Now, the attorneys filed the class action in November, and then the new development is that a few weeks ago, the comptroller's office filed a motion requesting that the court dismiss the action. And then shortly thereafter, again, just a couple weeks ago, the taxpayers' attorneys filed their response as to why the case should not be dismissed. The state's position is that the class action is impermissible and should be dismissed because it's a tax issue that requires the taxpayers to go through the tax administrative process. Versus what the taxpayers' attorneys are saying is that this is not an issue about taxes, but about the right to interest, and interest is not a tax. So if the class action proceeds and if the taxpayers win all the way up through the appellate courts, and we surely expect that the losing party will appeal the other side's win all the way up as high as they can. But if the taxpayers do win at the final level, then there would be a process of the attorneys in the case notifying all taxpayers who received WIN refunds. They would get that information under the court ruling from the comptroller's office and would notify all of the people who received WIN refunds, not just the taxpayers who are in the Holzeit filing, so that everyone could participate in receiving part of the additional interest fund that this class action complaint seeks through the courts. So where are we now? We are waiting for the judge's decision on whether he'll dismiss the class action complaint or whether he'll allow it to proceed for the court to hear the arguments and rule on the merits, that is, to determine whether the taxpayers are in fact due additional interest amounts because the legislation in 2014 was wrong. So it's an interesting procedural issue for us. There are other Maryland attorneys who expect the court to dismiss the class action filed by these couple, and that would leave taxpayers, all taxpayers, the only choice of going through that administrative appeal process, the 90-day letter, which, of course, eventually ends up in the appellate courts anyway, just after the comptroller's office and the Maryland tax court determinations. So it's been an exciting several weeks going through all of these different administrative and legal issues. And in any event, there are taxpayers who are proceeding under both procedures, the administrative procedure and the class action, in search of getting the 13% instead of the 3% interest on their tax refunds under the WIN case. And, Jenny, we certainly will be paying attention to both.
Perfect. And I think that is a wrap today. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Alta State and Local Tax and Advisory podcast interview with Karen Cirillo, a director with Alta State and Local Tax and Advisory, as well as Jenny DeSantis of Alta's group. And Karen was kind enough to give us some very detailed insights on the latest when it comes to the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in the Wynn versus the Maryland Comptroller case. And Karen and Jenny, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Take care.